Welcome to the Unconventional Dyad Podcast, where psychology and psychoanalysis meet social justice, feminism, politics, climate change, critical theory, graduate student mental health, and the arts.
Your hosts are Carly and Laura, two graduate students and friends committed to bridging the gap between the field of psychology, social issues, and society.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on another episode of the Unconventional Dyad Podcast. Today, we speak with Venus Washington, a health and fitness entrepreneur and the founder and CEO of Venus Inspires. She is also the developer and head coach of Madison Elite Track Club Incorporated and is a new employee at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where she runs fitness classes for older adults and facilitates discussions with the community about COVID-19.
We discussed a variety of topics on the podcast today, including the importance of authenticity and being in the present moment. We also talked about modeling courage and authenticity to clients and the community at large, and the various avenues through which Venus reaches community members, such as leading yoga, mindfulness, groups and workout classes in parks, churches, and libraries. Venus also leads us through two mindfulness practices in the episode, and you'll notice that we jump right into one of those activities at the beginning of the episode. Plus, a special bonus for you all, in the spirit of being authentic, we also hear from Carly's obnoxious feline roommate who wanted to chime in during the episode. We hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did. Thanks for being with us. Venus, thank you so much for joining us on the Unconventional Dyad Podcast.
Hi, I'm so excited. Thanks
for having me. We're excited to have you. Absolutely, absolutely. We are wondering if we can open up with one of your mindful practices. Would you mind leading us in that?
Yes, let's do that. So make sure you get your feet nice and firm on the ground. Just kind of position yourself in the chair. Make your spine nice and tall. Place your hands on your thighs, soften the shoulders. You can close your eyes or soften your gaze. Just take a nice deep inhale through your nose. And then take a sigh out through your mouth. Just another deep inhale through your nose. Take a sigh through your mouth. Just soften to the body. One more, just like that. Inhale through the nose. Exhale out through your mouth. Lift up nice and tall through the spine. Then feel the sensation of the breath. Just breathe normal. And notice. Notice the breath. Notice the now. Notice any sensations that start to come up and just notice. Fall into that, fall into the breath, fall into the now. And as we start to practice this practice of mindfulness, allow yourself to come back to the now. Come back to the breath. And be okay with the sensations. Be okay with the now. Be okay with being safe in the now. Start to bring the shoulders up towards your ears with a nice inhale. Exhale, roll the shoulders back and down. Another inhale, lift the shoulders up. Exhale, back and down. Inhale up. Exhale down. And then take a nice inhale. Reach the arm up. Start to reach up like you're waking up in the morning. And then exhale, bring the shoulders back and down. Lift the chest up. And then another inhale, reach up. Exhale, press down, lift up. And then inhale, reach up. Exhale, let it go. Shake it off. Open the eyes. Get ready to go to the flow. Stay in the now and enjoy. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for that. That's a wonderful way to start the episode.
Yes. I love to practice mindfulness.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us and our listeners a little bit about who you are? Maybe share some of your personal and professional identities or anything that you want to share with our listeners about yourself.
Yeah. So I live in Madison. My family is a family of four. I'm newly engaged to my beautiful fiance, Erica.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. She has a stepson who's 18. Well, it'll be my stepson. She's 18. And then my daughter, who is 11. So we are just getting all cozy and learning each other and really enjoying each other. And we love going on like hikes. We love getting out into nature. We're all just big nature lovers, like just hiking and getting outside. Like, we just love that. That's our family bonding. So what I'm doing professionally is I'm a personal trainer, health coach. I've been a athlete all my life. So I ran track at the UW-Madison. And after that, I graduated with a sociology, social welfare degree. My idea when I graduated was to do educational policy. I wanted to do Teach for America. So I was really big on like, man, I'm gonna change the educational system. I like put all my, eggs in one basket. I said, that's what I'm gonna do. I didn't get Teach for America. And then I end up going to Coffeyville, Kansas, where I got a job where RA. So resident assistant. And I also worked for the track team. So it was a Division III college where I was the strength and conditioning coach. I did the hurdles and sprints for the team. And then after that, so I stayed there for a year. And then after that, I moved to Madison. That's when I got pregnant. I was engaged to a man back then. that didn't work out. And then probably around, my daughter was around 3 or 4 is when I started to get into my own business. I stopped everything. I was coaching. I was a head coach at Madison East for high school. And I also was, I did personal training for like a women by women. It was like personal one-on-one training just for women. And then I did group classes, but I actually wasn't doing that at first. I was working at a Montessori school. That's where my daughter was going. I really didn't know how to, I wasn't sure how I wanted to balance being a mom and a track coach, because my idea was I really wanted to be a track coach. And in my mind, as a track coach, it's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of recruiting. When I became a mom, I really started to like, what does that look like? How am I going to be present for my daughter? And then also looking at my relationship, like, am I happy in this relationship? Am I going to stay in a relationship for my daughter or for me? Those were my big things coming out of college, transitioning, becoming a mother. It all happened super fast. I got a job, got pregnant, and then it was all like a learning spill of figuring out who I wanted to become or who did I want to show up? How did I want to show up? Especially when you become a parent, you know, that's one of the big things. Like, how am I showing up? Am I being authentic? Am I showing, you know, my child, the true me? And so all my life, like, I'm going all over the place, but it's
for it.
All my life I wanted, this even has to do with my hair. All my life when I was in college, I always wanted to have locks. I used to wear extensions and like, cause I was a athlete, so I really couldn't really deal with my hair that often. Mm-hmm. And so I would wear extensions. And then when I had a daughter, I started really like, okay, wait, I always wanted to do that. I have to go after the things that I want, even in terms of my hair. You know, as Black women, sometimes like our hair is very important. It's part of our identity. And when I had my daughter, I started the process of how is this going to look like of me actually wearing my hair natural. And probably around when she got three is when I started twisting my hair and started growing my lock. And that's when I started transitioning, moving from her father and really finding my happy space of, I think I wanted to do my own thing. I wasn't happy teaching Montessori at the Montessori school where she was at. So I left there. I wasn't happy at the high school, the politics behind it. I left there. And so all I had was my certification for personal trainer. And at first I didn't, how I got my certification, I was actually training one of my coworkers at the Montessori school who was super sick. And I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing personal training. Maybe I can learn as I train you. And she was actually the one who was like, you really should do this like full time. Like, this is what you should do. But I was really in between with like, I really want to do a track. Like, I'm a track coach. That's what mm-hmm. I do. That's how I identify myself. And so when I left him, I started looking for, like, I started using my certification. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I could just go into gyms and start working for gyms. I went to every gym in town and did not get hired.
Wow.
Now I was a D1 athlete. I already trained one of my athletes actually made it to the Olympic trials that was in my first year. Like I had some things behind my name as a track coach and as an athlete. And also, so I got certified as a personal trainer. Nobody would hire me. I went to like all of them. Nobody would hire me. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should just start my own business. And I started going to people's homes, and it was super, I didn't charge them enough, so I couldn't make rent with what I was charging them. So I had other side jobs that I would try to do. And mind you, I had just left my partner. So I was single and really struggling, mm-hmm. trying to really be authentic and really live, you know, through my passion. And it was super hard because sometimes when you're just going through the motions, like for so long, and then you find out like, no, this is who I am. And then you just got to go for it by all costs. And that's kind of what I did. And I was going to people's homes, you know, networking in the community, trying to find where the need was, where could I, you know, help. I started another, like a family fitness program in the library. So the library started contracting me, which I still do. I have a really good relationship in the libraries where I do free classes for the libraries for families. So, cause I had a small daughter. So a lot of my brand was I had to bring my daughter with me. So if I'm like going to a house, you got kids, I got one too. Let's work out together. And so a lot of that was that. And also the brand for the family fitness in the library was working out together, working out with your kids. So that was my brand. And then once I started doing that, I met another man who was starting his ministry in a church, and I told him my ministry was fitness. He was like, you can use my church. So I was able to use this church and help him with like secretary stuff and really use his space for like practically free. And so I started doing classes there, and I had a couple, I think I had like 7 hardcore people that would, you know, pay me monthly that would come. And I did that for probably about 2-3 years. then I started doing it out in the out in parks, and people started noticing. One of the police, it was Penn Park out in Madison. It was Penn Park, and Penn Park was known for crimes and stuff like that. And one of the police officers approached me and was like, would you like to just, you know, we will pay you and you can come and do, you know, fitness classes here on the regular so we can keep the crime down. I would go every week and go and wouldn't get a lot of people showing up. Kids would come. I would train kids. But when people would actually start to know who I was. It was people out there gambling. It was people out there. I had people telling me like, oh, I just went in there and, you know, did whatever, crack or whatever. Like they would come out and talk to me and tell me their stories. And they started knowing who I was because I was there all the time doing just fitness, yoga, whatever it is that people wanted to do just to get moving. And it was like a really, it was like a respect. Like we know that's the fitness lady. Oh, if anybody come, we'll move. They be over there gambling and like, oh, we'll move if somebody come, you know, if somebody want to work out. And they would. They really would. So it was a really, it became like a little respect there. And so I started connecting with other organizations and Black Women's Wellness, who I'm still connected with, you know, gave me some, you know, awards that kind of gave me a little bit more of a leeway in the community and things like that. And now currently, so as I was learning my brand and learning how to connect with the community, which was really community based, I in the process of that, I'm still so much of a learner as a student. Like I was so much of a student wanting to know more about the body and understanding how can I really help people, you know, change their body or change their lives. So I noticed like it was a lot of trauma, a lot of like people will come to my classes and I'm so much of an affirmation words user, like as we're moving, giving words, making people really reflect as we're working out. And I noticed people would be like, oh man, I really felt that. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, so I started putting together, I got certified as a health coach, life coach, started doing mindful practices. And then I worked with schools. I'm still connected with schools. So people still have my contact information where I'm still a resource to them. I'm not as much in the schools as I was before, but I was very much involved in schools, especially in Verona, because I was part of their mindful. We had like a board, like a wellness committee. So I was like the mindful person, and I would go to all of the Verona schools and teach teachers how to implement mindfulness in their practice. And I would go to meetings, like their pre-meetings, and get them prepared, just kind of like what we did here. And I would do like a brief practice for them to start their meeting off. So I do that a lot for a lot of different organizations, just like you guys saw me at the Trauma Informed Summit. I do that a lot for a lot of organizations. I did like Access Clinics. I did their whole personal development where I went to all of their clinics and talked to everybody and talked about mindfulness. How can they implement mindfulness into their work-life balance? I did that for like a year. Well, it wasn't a year. It was like I had a contract with them for a little bit and I did their personal development. And now currently, I have a agency with CCS, so Community Comprehensive Services, so Dane County, which it works with other organizations to help with individuals who have substance, like mental health and substance abuse issues. Mm-hmm. So my agency is basically all of personal trainer, health coach, mindful practice, yoga, all of that. So if I have a client that's in CCS, we would go through mindful practice. We would go through physical training. We would go through how can you have better relationship with food. All of that is implement and helping them with any substance abuse or, you know, mental health issues that they're dealing with. And now I also have a contract, a long-standing contract with, I'm an employee now. Before I was a contractor, so I'm employee at UW-Madison Alzheimer's Research. So I first started as a contract, and it was a Get Moving class where I do classes for seniors in the chairs twice a week. And again, how I practice that is mindfulness, connecting with the body and moving. It's called Get Moving. The purpose was to get, you know, everybody moving. We're now on 4 years of doing this. And then, so the first year, it was so great. They loved it. That was like, let's expand it. Let's let everybody get this. And so I do another class at nighttime for people who are, you know, it's during the day. So, cause it was geared towards seniors, retired individuals. And so now they're like, let's do another class for open for anybody. Anybody can come. And so I do that twice a week. And that's like intense, like cardio, boot camp, all that, you know. I have like my own formula where, have you ever heard of like work?
You ever heard of work? So. No.
Work is like a dance cardio. Zumba.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Zumba. Work is similar to Zumba. In my own, I would say, Are You Fit Venus brand, it has cardio, mindfulness, and also cardio, mindfulness, and strength. Mm-hmm. So it has. So we have dance. We'll start off with mindfulness. We'll dance. We'll do like get on the floor and do like sit ups and crunches and all that stuff. We'll do a little bit of yoga also, like stretching, mindfulness. So it's all of that. And I really need to get this out because I feel like nobody else is doing anything like that. Like that's my own brand where I incorporate all of that into the workout and all of my workouts. If it's chair, if it's boot camp, if it's intervals training, all of that has that element in there where it's just like, it's not just cardio. It's not just... It's not just strength. It's not just mindfulness. It has it all.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so true to just the way you're describing your history in this business as well. Like you dabble in so many different things and you've worn so many hats. So it kind of makes sense that you would come up with this way of working out that incorporates all those things together. And you know, Venus, you said so many things that really struck a chord with me. You mentioned, first of all, the authenticity piece. It seems like that is a huge part of your brand. And it's actually something I noticed myself. I joined one of your Instagram live workouts and I'm ashamed to say I almost died. It was a very intense workout for me. I enjoyed it though. It was great. But even in that workout, you were very authentic. You were very much yourself. You were kind of sharing, making jokes, but also just sharing your own, like where you were at personally and physically and mentally, and still engaging with your audience, even on a virtual format, which I thought was really cool. So that's one thing that really sticks out to me about you is your authenticity. And then the other piece that really stuck out to me is the fact that you're truly doing like community work. Like you are going out into the community where the people are at, in libraries, in churches, in parks. Like that is so cool to me. And it's something that I feel like we're studying to be clinical psychologists. It's something that I feel like the mental health field needs more of. We need to go to the people. We can't be expecting the people to, you know, come into our offices all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I work with a lot of therapists too, with the CCS, so the mental health, a lot of them on their team has therapists. And I can tell you the ones who are willing to be more flexible and like go out into the community, you can get so much more out of them to be open and start. Like when we're open, we're braver. And now we're starting to move from that trauma because now we're being more like we're brave. You know, that trauma is just, I'm stuck in there and I'm stuck in this cycle. How can I be open and brave and like move forward and embrace my strength? And, you know, that's definitely what I try to practice so people can feel like they're like, how can I be more authentic? How can I be brave and just, you know, just be me so people can feel like they can be themselves?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Venus, I do have a question for you about your identity as a college athlete and how that has shaped who you are now. And maybe some, can you just speak a little bit toward, you know, to where you came from as a college athlete and how that has affected you?
Yes, it really helped me a lot. Being an athlete and in college helped me learn how to actually connect to my body. Being an athlete, you have to get into the zone where you have to be focused solely on this. If you want to be good, you got to learn how to understand the mechanics of this foot here, this breath here, moving here, and stroking here, and being controlled in that moment. So I was a long jumper, and long jump was so hard because you had to learn how to be quick and explosive, but also graceful, like in a second. So how can I be calm and be quick and fast, but still calm in my body? How can I like be calm in my body enough to like strike at this right moment to like hold my posture and just be calm? Like, you know, like I'm going super fast, but I got to learn how to hold that and then stick it at the end, you know? So that in that practice, and I think kind of how I live my life, like you doing a whole bunch of stuff. How can I still be calm in the midst of all of that? How can I still stick and be like precise in the midst of that moment? And I always say, like, I was trying to get track in middle schools because I feel like it's not in elementary school. That's part of some stuff that I did too. Like I was really trying to implement track for middle schoolers because that's around the area where we're really start to change. Our bodies start to change. We don't know how we can fit socially, trying to get into a group. And the beautiful thing about track is you are individual part of a team. So you do something great, it helps the whole team. And I think that's how we operate as citizens. Like, how can you be in your lane, focus on your lane, be great at that? That helps the whole of our universe, of our world. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, like a relay, pass it off. It's time for you to pass it off. And we can get around. Like, sometimes you go so far where it's time for you to pass the baton to someone else who's doing similar to what you're doing as well. And so track, I really think is the basis of how we, cause it's so many different types of people in track. Mm-hmm. It's not just sprinters, it's distance runners, it's throwers, it's high jumpers, you know, all of those elements helps me interact in community because I understand that people have different roles, people have different strengths, people come in differently, and that's what track is. You know, people have, you know, different strengths. You know, a thrower is not going to get in a sprint unless you're a decathlon and you can do everything. We got some amazing people like that can do almost everything. So it's just like, okay, you know. But some of us are just sprinters. Some of us are just distance runners. Some of us are just, you know, and I think that's what we definitely need to learn. What role is, are you good? Are you good at all of it? Okay, well, let's help you get all of that done. If you're good at jumping, let's help you jump, you know? Yeah, that's what being an athlete taught me. As being a track athlete, control, discipline, being in the present, and realizing other people have different skills that can help us along in this world, you know?
Absolutely. That's such a great metaphor for, being just a human being in this world. I love that you used that metaphor. I'm wondering if we can switch gears a little bit. I want to ask you about the Wisconsin Partnership Program, the COVID-19 grant that you're kind of a part of. I'm really interested in just some of the work that you do as I think you're a social influencer. Is that your title with them? Can you kind of talk to us about what that work is like?
Yeah, so this is a different way of connecting to the community again. So the idea for this grant is to, so we have different social influencers. My role is the African-American community. We have the Native American. We have the Latino community as well. And so we all have our roles where we're connecting to our community on a social media platform. Mm-hmm. So this is a different way of, we're still learning, and we're still learning how can we connect and talk about COVID-19. Right now we're going through this vaccine series where we're trying to get the information out. But our big focus is, how do we connect to our community more and get the things that they need instead of actually just being this big, we know everything. Here's what you need to know. Here, do this. This is what you need to know. We're saying, hey, we're part of our, this is our community. Hey, y'all, let's talk. Hey, what can we, what do we need to know? What do we need to, bring back to the science and really get that, that correct information to our community and really just having that dialogue with our community authentically, like, okay, what do y'all want to know about? What do you feel like they're not telling us? What would make you feel safe and moving forward to make healthy decisions in terms of your well-being? My role as it is not telling you to get the vaccine or what, but here is the correct information. And how can you move forward to help your well-being? You know, because there's so much information out there. We get it all the time, left to right. And our goal as social influencers are to be that safe space for our community, to have that dialogue, to connect to our community. And just be open and honest and just say, like, hey, this is what I know to be correct. And this is what I'm going to share. So it's a new way of doing it. This is something new. And I know this is us. We're learning too. And we're definitely trying to make a space for science to connect with community, mm-hmm. Correctly. And not just feeling like this big bad person, but how can we, so I'm playing as the role of in between, like, hey, I'm talking to them. Hey, and also I'm being authentic too. Like, hold on, I'm not sure about this either. I need these questions answered too. If I'm feeling like this, they probably feel like this too. And, because I'm so active in community, a lot of the dialogue does somewhat come off screen in my classes, people who show up in my mm-hmm. classes, may talk to me or, send inboxes, say, hey, I got this concern. Could you follow up with me? Things like that. So it's just being that that safe space for the community where it's just I'm not a scientist. I'm about health and wellness, and I'm about your well-being. But it's all us learning together, and feeling safe. Did that answer the question?
Absolutely. Sense? Yeah, I really love that. And I love that there are people out there who are guides for their communities, because there's so much misinformation right now. And it really kind of scares me at how much misinformation that there is and how willing people are to take things that they see on social media at face value. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're doing that kind of work is really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of COVID-19, how has this pandemic kind of affected you and your work? I'm assuming that, things look very different for you than they did prior to the pandemic.
Yes.
I wonder if you can speak to that a little bit, maybe some of the trends or themes that you've noticed in working with the community.
Well, when it first hit back in March, because I was doing the Get Moving class in the community. So I was at two community centers, at the UW Partnership and then also at Badger Rock Community Center. So I would go, I was there, four times a week out in communities. And especially at Badger Rock and also at the UW Partnership, you will see different people. Like, you kind of know what's going on in the community because people are using these community areas. So I would see them a lot, have a more of an understanding of what's happening in the community. But once the pandemic, I'm in the house. So we moved everything online. So I've been doing everything online, classes online. So it's really hard for me to just look at the screen sometimes.
Absolutely.
I love it when people comment. I'm like, hey, okay, hey. And now we're switching into Zoom, so now I'm starting to see more people where I can actually see them working out. But the trend was for my other organ, like my agency for mental health, I had clients like it shot up. Like I had so many more clients during that time, especially in terms of dealing with mental health, mindfulness, yoga. I was working nonstop, definitely with individual clients with that. Mm-hmm. A lot of my clients were dealing with anxiety already. So some of them was, I noticed that was like, well, this is my life already. Like when it first started, mm-hmm. when we started to get in a couple of months, I really started seeing like, okay, this is not, even for the ones who are used to being closed in and have anxiety about going outside, they started to like have issues, you know, like they needed more interaction. And even just being on the screen is not, you know, not enough.
Yeah.
Especially if you're someone who just lives by yourself. So that was a big one, dealing with a lot of, you know, depression and anxiety and fears with the virus, you know, it's like not wanting to go out, but then really feeling like needing to go out. Mm-hmm. So I saw that a lot. And still yeah. Now. My big thing is I would tell people just go outside, you know, go for walks, you know, connect with nature, connect with the tree, ground yourself. That was my big thing. It was like, I understand you want touch and all that, you know, all that good stuff, but it was tough. A lot of them, you know, I think some adjusted where they had people in their bubble, like maybe one person. Yeah. That was in their bubble, but then it became like that one person went outside the bubble. Now you scared. So it's like, that's still, you know, that's still going on to this day. And it's just learning how to manage that anxiety of the fear and the angst of the virus, especially if you have underlying health conditions.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like that mental health is it can be, it was a big one. I saw a spike in my, my personal one-on-one clients. I saw a spike in it. Like I had a lot more work.
I'm wondering too, you mentioned like doing things virtually more now. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how to create and maintain and build a community online. Like, how do you do that? It seems so difficult.
That is one thing. I think consistency and being consistent. I wouldn't say, I mean, I've like my platforms, like my Instagram and also my Facebook, they're small compared to what they could be. But I think most people know that I'm pretty consistent on these platforms and they know where to go. Mm-hmm. And I think growing an online brand is, are you going to show up consistently for people and they know that's somewhere that they can go? And it's something that just happens organically. Some people blow up big. I mean, on my end, it's been years of work of being, you know, constantly putting out like encouraging things and, not so much as when I first started, my idea was to have like the online, you know, niche of group. And I've done some online classes and things like private classes, things like that. I think it's just consistency and just people feeling like they can share. Again, it goes back to being authentic. Is this a place where I feel like I can be seen? Is this a place where I feel like I'm getting the things that I need, even if they're not, you know, physically there. Like, is this a place where I can like share some stuff that I'm doing? Is this a place where I'm just getting the information that I need? You know, it depends. So I think everybody has something that they can share and some place that they can build for people to go. But it's a lot of them out there. A lot of them out there.
Beautiful.
Because so, I guess consistently and authentic.
It just seems so, it just seems so important to have consistency, especially now. I know for myself, I've been really wanting to incorporate more structure into my life. I feel like it is lacking so much structure, and the fact that you're very consistent with your content, being on there, being open to having whoever, you know, whoever wants to be present on there. I think that's just, it's incredible. And I think it's so important to have consistency, especially now. Especially people who don't have that.
Absolutely. And I love what
online,
you said.
You have to be brave. You have to be brave because some people are like, I don't know. People are going to judge me. What about this? And it's like, be bold, be brave. Just do it. It's 2021. You might as well. Like, we're missing a lot of people who have talent that have not been on, you know, social media. Because you can meet, you have a greater audience when you're on social media. You know, you guys have this podcast, you know, you can touch more people. So some people are scared of that, like, but I'm like, be who you are and let people learn from you, because we all can learn from someone.
Yeah. And I think you really modeled that boldness and that bravery and courage in your online presence from what I've seen so far of you. And I think that probably allows people to also be a little more brave when they see you doing that as a leader and as a facilitator.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So what are you kind of planning on doing next, Venus? I mean, you do a ton, it sounds like, but are there other things in the works for you?
One thing that's really scaring me a little bit, so I know I should probably do it. Not scaring me, but just kind of coming up in my gut, like in my stomach. You know how you get that kind of like,
Oh yeah.
I really like mentoring, you know, like I'm a student, but I really do want to help other personal trainer, health coach, just like really start to build their own. Cause it's a slim picking, especially being a female and being Black. In this like industry, it's not a lot of us. And so really being a mentor to maybe young females trying to be personal trainers, health coach, to building their brand, or like actually not even building a brand, but learning how to get income, you know, because that's one of the things, like, oh, build a brand. Because I know that's one of the things, like, what's my brand? Got to build my brand. But how can I get money? How can I survive? How about that? Like, it's one thing to get a social media following and a whole bunch of likes, but are you getting money? Like, that is one way you can get money. I don't know how to do that yet. But my thing is, like, how can you live sustainable and still help serve people? How can you have a sustainable life financially and be living in your passion and serving people? Because a lot of people start and don't continue because financially, like, I got people to feed, I got mouths to, like, I can't be starving, or I need to pay rent, so I don't have time to dedicate that. So really maybe providing some type of, you know, I'm still figuring it out, because I don't necessarily want them to be a worker, but someone to actually build themselves where they can have an established, you know, personal training business. I think that's one of the things that I want to lean into, and, you know, other stuff, you know, products and all that stuff that has been telling me to do, and I've been saying that I have not done. I probably need to make a challenge. One of the things for me is, like, once I tell people, like, This is what I'm going to do. Here's a challenge. And then I'm like, okay, well, I better do it. So
you put it out there. So
let's do it together. Here's a challenge. Yeah. Write a book in 30 days. Who's going to do it with me?
That's awesome. Woo! Yeah. You know, and you mentioned this income piece. I think a lot of times we don't talk about how to make a sustainable living. It's like, especially in a helping profession. And I don't know if it's a female thing or if it's just a helping profession thing, but a lot of us shy away from being a helper and also making an income because we need to survive and to live. So I think it's cool that you put that out there.
Yes, it's super important. I mean, I think when I first started, I was like, oh, yeah, because it's about community. Not a big thing. Like, and I'm like, okay, some people cannot afford personal training. But who can? Mm-hmm. Like organizations. They got money. They got money to give away. So I'm like, oh, why don't I just connect with some organizations that got money? They pay me. Now it's free. Mm-hmm. Boom, there's a brand for anybody out there who's listening. Yes, big corporations have money. They have things that they need to give out and they want to actually help community too, but how can they? They're like, we don't know. You can be that person. He's like, hey, me right here, here's a contract. I'll connect to the community for you and you pay me. So that's the base of my income is working with other organizations to, you know, help. I'm supporting them as they're supporting the community, you know? So, yeah, I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, teach people how to do that. How can you do that?
Yes, I love it. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Venus, how can people get in contact with you? How can they find you if they're interested in working with you?
So I am on Facebook. So my Facebook is Venus Inspires Personal Trainer. Instagram, Venus Inspires 8. Email, venusinspires8@gmail.com. You can also check me out on my website is VenusWashington.com. You can Google me, Venus Washington. It should all come up. I'm not hard to find. You Google me. Most of that will come up. But Venus Inspires, Venus Washington, all of those are links to me.
Great. Yeah. And we'll put the links in our social or in our show notes as well, and your social media stuff in our show notes as well, so people can find those there.
For sure. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, Venus, do you have any, final thoughts for the listeners or maybe hopes for the future that you want to share before we go into our mindful practice to close out?
I think the biggest thing is when you're practicing or understanding like your mind and emotions and bodies, it can be scary at first because if you have never done it or if you've never really practice sitting with yourself, it feels like this is really weird. I can't get it. I'll say lean into it. Lean into your fears. That little, oh my God, I'm not sure. Lean into that. That's where your results are. Just like when I say working out, it's like that burn. And then it's like, oh, you want to stop? No, go past that burn. That's where the result is. It's like, that's where it starts, right in that contrast, right in that little hardness or unsureness is where your gift is. A lot of people get nervous about that and they stop their gifts and they stop whatever it is that they want because of that. I'll say, lean into it. And the practice of practicing in the now, we're always safe in the now. Our brain may be spin into some other things that happen, but if you bring it here into your breath, if you bring it to the now, you can be clear, and then you know what step you need to take don't get so ahead of yourself. Don't get so overwhelmed with your ideas and the things that you want, or if you feel like you're not where you need to be. get back to the now, take a deep breath, take one step, and move forward from there. You know, we can't do it all in our head trying to, like, you see the top of the mountain, you see that weight that you want to lose, you see that, like, all those things that you want right ahead of you, and it feels like it's so far. Mm-hmm. And I say, take a deep breath, move into the now, and take one step. Do that over and over again. Practice going within. And let's do that right now. Y'all ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Let's do it again. Let's practice going within. So again, move the shoulders around. Take some nice deep breath. Just kind of move your face. Take a nice inhale. And exhale out. Inhale. And exhale. Now this time I want you to take your hands, tighten them up. Tight, tight, tight. Tight your hands. Tight, tight, tight. And then let go. Tight your hands, tight your shoulders, tight your face. Tight, tight, tight. Let go. Tight your body, your toes, everything. Tight, tight, tight. Tight your stomach. Get it tight, 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 tight. And then let go. Again, tight, 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 tight. Let go. Let go. Let go. Breathe. 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 Move into the heart. Place your hand on your heart. Allow yourself to move into your heart and listen. Listen. Honoring you, honoring this space, honoring your heart. Now allow yourself to open up, open up, open up the arms, open up, open up. Feel yourself growing taller, open up to expand, love, peace, everything positive. All of the good things. Bring it in. Give yourself a hug and a kiss.
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Venus. And thank you for joining us and all the wisdom that you shared with us today. We enjoyed you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. It was so nice to get to know you and what you're doing for the communities. And I look forward to maybe participating in some of your Instagram Live workouts.
You're joining me next time, Carly.
I will, certainly.
Please do.